And we're holding on Kuf Amud Beis, about a little below the middle of the Amud. Line begins, Amud of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. We talked about yesterday, the Gemara had started talking about the idea that a man is not allowed to be kofer ishta l'dvar mitzvah, to force her to do the mitzvah of bia, even though there's a mitzvah of ona and a mitzvah of pruvu or whatever involved. He's not supposed to force her into it. And if he is, if he does, he's called a choyte. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions, Amar Shmuel Manachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yonasan, it says on the side, Kol Isha Shetevas Bailu L'dvar Mitzvah, any woman who asks her husband to have relations with her, as we'll see in a minute, she will end up having children that even in the times of Moshe, you didn't have such caliber of children. In Moshe Rabbeinu's times, when he's choosing judges, according to Yisro's advice over there, good morning, Avi, then the expression is ksiv. The pasuk says, "Havu lachem anoshim chachamim unevonim v'yiduim l'shivteichem." Then Moshe says, "Bring forth for yourselves from your shvatim people who are chacham and novoin and well known to your shvatim." Novoin in particular, Rashi says, means mavin dover miteich dover. You can tell them one thing and they'll be able to deduce something else from it. So that's the kind of thing Moshe. So Moshe was looking for people of such caliber who have those qualities. A couple of psukim later, it says that he took anoshim chachamim v'yiduim. So, but it leaves out that the nevoinim, because the Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there, he couldn't find nevoinim. So we see that in Moshe Rabbeinu's times there weren't nevoinim. There was a sicha actually where the Rebbe discusses this in Chelek Amud Aleph, I think, and says that there were different kinds of nevoinim. There's the kind of nevoin that they had, people who had bina as far as being able to do the work of the Mishkan, which is one type of bina, to be able to have like part of the instructions and be able to deduce the rest of it from them. But then you have the kind of novoin that you needed over here, where you tell them something and they can deduce something completely new from that. And that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find in his times. The ilu nevoinim lo yashkach, so you couldn't find nevoinim. The ilu gabi leyaksiv. Now, on the other hand, let's look at Leah, who was Teveya. She asked her husband to come have relations with her. Ksiv vateitze Leah lekros. So in Parshas Vayetze, it says that Leah came out to greet Yaakov. Vatoma, and she said, Eli Tovoi, you should come to me. Ki socher schartecha, because I've hired you with the whole story with the Dudoyim over there, where Leah and Rachel made a deal. So she was Tevea, Uchtiv, and which child came from that time when Leah and Yaakov were together was Yisachar, Uchtiv, and the pasuk says, and when Bnei Yisachar Yodei Bina La'itim, from the children of Yisachar, there were people in David HaMelech's times, this is talking about, there were people who knew understanding Bina, the same Shodesh as Nevoinim, for the times, Ladas Mayas Yisrael, to know what the Jewish people should do. In particular, these people were experts in calculating Kiddush HaChodesh. Roshei Mosayim, the heads of them were 200, and all the rest of their brothers, meaning all the rest of the Jewish people, followed what they were saying. So we see, in other words, in short, that Shevet Yisachar had Nevoinim, even though Moshe couldn't find such Nevoinim in his time. So the Mephoshim say, okay, so what it means is that Moshe was able to find Nevoinim from Shevet Yisachar, but not necessarily from the other Shevatim. The point is, why did that come about? Because Leah was Teveya Latashmish, which is what we're saying. However, the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? That you're telling me a woman should be Teveya Tashmish, she should be asking her husband to have relations with her. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, on the other hand, that by the Chetei Tadas, Chava was cursed with 10 curses. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Elo Isha Omar, to the woman Hashem said, Harba, now the Pasuk goes, Elo Isha Omar, Harba Arba Itzvoinech Vahironech, I will greatly multiply your trouble and your pain, your pain and your pregnancy. The etzev tail dibonim, in pain or in sorrow, you'll give birth to children. Ve'el ishech chukasech, your desire will be to your husband, or hu yim shalbach, and he'll dominate over you. So the Gemara is going to explain phrase by phrase what this pasuk means. Elo isha omar harba arba, when it says increase, I will increase, the double expression means elu shnei tipe damim. It means the two drops, the two types of blood that women, the bleeding that women suffer from. Achas dam nida v'achas dam psolim, blood of nida and blood of psolim, before the chatei tadas. In other words, apparently the idea was they wouldn't have had these kinds of problems. It's voinich zetzar gidobonim. When it continues, your pain or your trouble, that refers to the trouble of raising children. I mean, the husbands are involved in that as well, but still, you know, practically speaking, we all know that the wives do the lion's share of that. Then when it continues, your pregnancy refers to the pain of pregnancy. Why, by the way, is Tsar Gidobonim placed before Tsar Iber? There's a couple of interesting explanations about this. One of them is because this was addressed to Chava, and Chava had already had Cain and Hevel by that point, or at least Cain. So therefore, like for her, first there's going to be the trouble of raising those children that she already has. Later on in the future, there's going to be the pain of pregnancy. A different explanation also that some Achronim say is that we know how it is, that many times you have a woman has, that a couple has a small child, and then she becomes pregnant again while the kid is little. That's also included, that you have the tsar gidobonim of the existing little kid, and already then you're pregnant again. Continues the pasuk, be'etzev tel dibonim k'mashmoi, when it says in pain you'll give birth to children, that means exactly what it sounds like, the childbirth is painful, which by the way, you know, you have the Medrash mentions that for tzidkonius you don't have this, and therefore it says that imahos didn't have the pain of childbirth, but on the whole, most women do. Ve'el ishech tshukosich, then when the pasuk continues, and this is what's relevant to our Gemara over here, when it says your desire will be to your husband, means melamed cho ishta mishtekekes al baila. This means that the woman desires her husband, wants tashmish b'shosh yotzei l'derech, when he's going on the road, she would like to be with him, and she's not able to because he's not there. And actually, this is the part that's relevant. V'hu yim shalbach. The pasuk continues, he will dominate over you. That means malamet cho isha tevas belev v'ish teveh b'peh. This means that the woman desires tashmish, but only in her heart. She doesn't actually say it. Whereas the man actually says b'peh. So therefore, he's Moshe, like he has the domination. He has the control to be able to say with it, to be able to say verbally what he wants to do. Whereas she's embarrassed to. So what are you telling me that the woman should be Tevea Bepeh, which we said before, and then she'll have children like the descendants of Yisachar who are Nevoinim, etc. If we're saying over here that the normal thing is that she shouldn't. The answer is, and in fact, the Braisa continues, Zuhi Mida Tova Benoshim, this that women are only Tevea Belev is a good Mida in women, meaning, in other words, it's a sneistic thing that women are that way. So, okay, you know, it's part of the klala, but we're saying even within the klala, Hashem gives it in such a way that Hashem gave it that they have a more tzniyistic and natural bent to not demand it prepare. So again, the point is, what are you telling me she should demand it prepare? The answer is, kikamrin de meratzia outsuria kamei. The answer is, when we say that she's tevea tashmish, we don't mean that she actually says in so many words, let's go do it. What we mean is she does things in order to show, mara lafana v'nyone chiba, as Rashi says, she shows various kinds of affectionate things to him in order to get him in the mood. But she doesn't actually say in so many words. So what was the deal with Leah? Some of the Mephoshim say that with Leah, it's different because she's Leah, she's one of the Imois, they're on a higher level, therefore she can say Eli Tovay. But another possibility is when she says Eli Tovay, it doesn't mean you're going to do Tashmish with me. The word Tovay does mean Tashmish, it means Bia, but it also just means you will come into my tent. Poshet, he's coming home in the evening, he's supposed to go to Rachel's tent, so she comes out and tells him, instead, come into my tent. She's not actually saying in so many words, let's do Bia. I'll make something for whatever, yeah, I'll make supper for you or whatever, yeah. So there's no contradiction. So when we say that she should be Tevea, we don't mean Bepeh, but she means that she takes the initiative in trying to make a nice environment and a nice mood that the husband should want Tashmish. That's when we're saying that then she'll have children of the caliber of Yisachar and his descendants. That was saying that even in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, they couldn't find such an avonim, except as some Mephoshim say, outside of Shevet Yisachar. Because after all, Shevet Yisachar was saying in all the generations had the Nevoinim, but not in the other Shvatim yet. Okay. So the question is, Hani, the question is, we said before, Eser Klolos Neskal L'chava, but we only listed seven so far. So Hani Sheva Havyan. We only have seven. What are the missing three? Ki Osir of Dimi Omer. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said he was the other three. Atufa Ka'ovel. The woman is wrapped up like an oval because she doesn't go out with her hair uncovered. So therefore, the light like an oval that keeps their hair, like an oval who keeps his head covered. Umenuda mikol adam, she's separated from the company of all people, which we'll see what that means in a second. from all men, yeah. We'll see what that means in a second. V'chavusha b'veis ha'asurim, and she's locked up in jail in the sense that, like Rashi says, kol kvod bas melach pnima, the kavod of a woman is that she stays indoors. So she doesn't necessarily go out. She doesn't go out and mingle with people. No, I mean, that's what Gemara is going to explain in a second, what Menudah Mikolada means. But the Chavusha Beis HaSurim, you have, for example, Rama mentions in Hilchos Ishus that it's not really proper for a woman to be going out in the street stam. You know, she has to go for a purpose, let's say, to be Menachem Avol or whatever. Even shopping for Shabbos, they didn't necessarily do in those times. They'd send servants, so their husbands would go, whatever. In what? They cook themselves. Yeah, somebody has to go shopping. But yeah, the Rambam, for example, in his times mentions that, let's say it was, you know, the proper thing is maybe that a woman goes out once or twice a month. You know, by us nowadays, it's more common, obviously, but still, you know, the fiyarech. Okay, so the question is, my minudim kol adam, what do you mean that she's banned from contact with any man? Ilema mashum de osu lo yichud. You're going to say it means that she's not allowed to be in yichud with a man who's not her husband. Well, then that's not only on her. Ihunami also le yichud. Nu, and a man has the same thing. He's not allowed to be alone with a woman that's not his wife. Ela da asiru le betre. No, what we mean is that she's also to marry two husbands. A man before Chaim Der Ben Gershom was able to marry two wives. I just saw, by the way, interesting. I saw the Siyum Sefer Torah that was the other day here in Crown Heights. The guy who made the Siyum, he's originally from Iran. So he has his ksuba hanging on the wall. There's a clause in the ksuba that says he won't marry another wife without the permission of the local based in. Because by them, they're still allowed to marry two wives, technically, but they would write in the, yeah. Anyway, the point is, but al pi halacha, a woman is not allowed to marry two husbands. In fact, actually, the Meshech Chochma says an interesting thing on it. He says it's not just a matter of halacha. Practically speaking, civilization wouldn't last if women were allowed to be with two men, because nobody would know who the father is of the child. And then why would anyone even bother? Why would any person bother supporting a woman and her children if he doesn't know even whether those children are his? So Pasha, as a matter of basic human civilization, you have to have that women have. But in other words, the point is, before the Chet Tzedas, pregnancy was a very short thing. So therefore, there's no problem. Even if a woman is with many men, each one, you'll know which one was the father of any given child. It was its first day. But the point is, before that already, she had Cain and Hevel and their twins. So pregnancy was a very short thing. Anyway, yeah. So that's what it means, that the unlike a man who's in principle allowed to marry as many wives as he wants, at least in Chaim Der Ben Gershom, a woman is not. It's one husband and no more. That's what we mean, the menudah mikolada. Okay. The Gemara continues, b'masnisatana, in a braisa we learn a different understanding of a different list of the last three things. Again, the first seven things are clearly in the pasuk, which is what we quoted before, the shnei tipei damim and sar gidobonim and so forth. But we said there were three missing, so Rav Dimi had supplied a list of three. So now a braisa gives a different list. Megadela seir kalilis, a woman grows her hair long like lilis, which is the name of a shed. Umviyashebes mashtenes mayim kebehema, she has to sit in order to urinate like an animal. Vanasis kar labaila, and she becomes a pillow for her husband. In other words, when they have relations, her husband lies on her. So the v'idach, what would Rav Dimi answer to that? Why doesn't he like that list in the Braisa and he has to give his own list? Because he says, Hani Shebachula. Adraba, these three things that the Braisa is mentioning are all good things about her. The Amr Abchia, my dichtiv. What does it mean? Apostle Malfeinu mi bahamois aretz. Hashem teaches us from the animals of the earth. Umei oifa shamayim yichakmenu, and he makes us wise from the birds of the heavens. So in context, the pasuk is meaning Hashem makes us more wise than the animals. The mem means more than and more than the birds. But the Gemara is dashing that it means that Hashem makes us wise. That Hashem teaches us something from the animals and from the birds. So Malfeinu mi bahamos zu prida. This refers to a mule. Shekeras mashtenes mayim. It crouches down to urinate. So therefore, we're saying that's a tznius sticker thing to do. So we can learn from that. Umei oif hashemayim yichakmenu. And when it continues, from the birds of the heavens, he makes us wiser. Zet tarnagol shemafayis va'achakach boil. This refers to the rooster who first appeases. He first talks nicely or acts nicely towards his mate, and only then does he have relations with her. As only then does he mate with her, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute. So therefore, in other words, the point is the fact that women sit and to urinate is adrabah, is a good thing. It's a tznias sticker thing. Therefore, that shouldn't be a list. That shouldn't be on a list of klolos. And the same thing as far as the other things, as far as the that she's a karla baila, Rashi says is not such a bad thing either. It means that he has the tircha, she doesn't when they're having relations. Rashi doesn't explain as far as what about the magadela seir kalilis. So Marsha says, okay, you know, we said before that she covers her hair, so it's kind of included in that. She wears her hair long and then she covers it. Yeah. Well, I mean, she could. Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. It could be that there's work involved in taking care of her hair. Could be. I don't know. Well, I mean, we're not saying that any of these things. We're saying that they don't like it after the fact, you know. I mean, you know, some of these other things. But nevertheless, it could be that that's included. That they have long hair and it takes a lot of work to take care of it. Could be. I don't know. Anyway, but Rav Dimi didn't consider that a bad thing. Therefore, he has to have a different list. Okay. Amar Rav Yechanan. So Rav Yechanan says, in this case, the famous idea, Ilmolei lo nitna Torah. If the Torah had not been given, and when the Rebbe Rashab would quote this, he would always add the word Chas v'Shalom. Hayinu lamedin tznius mechasso. We could learn tznius from the cat, which, so Rashi says that cats don't go to the bathroom, they don't defecate in front of people. They go in a corner or in the bushes or whatever and do it. Other Mephoshim say it also refers to when they mate. They also don't do it in public. They go into a corner or something. So we can learn from that. V'gezel minamala, we could learn from ants not to steal. Each ant collects its own food and they don't steal from each other. They all work like it. In fact, there's a Gemara in Chulin. There's an interesting Gemara in Chulin that tells how one of the Chachamim, Reb Shimon bar Chalafta, I think it was, one time wanted to do an experiment to see how ant society works, since the Pesukim mentioned that ants have no ruler. And he found that they have a very well organized system to deal with people who are harming the colony, even without somebody telling them what to do, even without an ant telling them what to do. So here we're saying the same thing. They don't steal from each other, even though they don't have any police or whatever telling them not to do it. Yeah. Okay. So we could learn that from the ant. But arayas miyo. No, we could learn from a dove about arayas, where a dove is always faithful to its mate. It won't. From Noach's times, we see that, yeah. But then, you have the Odov over there accuses Noach that you want to be with my mate, whereas the Yonah didn't make any such accusations. But yeah, a dove is a symbol of faithfulness to its mate. Because that's how it is. A dove will only mate with its partner. This is what we're saying over here, that we couldn't. No, we're just saying in general, you look at the way that doves act, where they only mate with their own partner, so you can learn from that about Arayas. So that we could learn from that about Arayas, even if the Torah had Chas v'Shalom not been given. But Derech Eretz mitarnagol, and we could learn from a rooster about Derech Eretz, about the proper way to have relations. As we said, that first he appeases his mate and then he mates with her. A couple of things, by the way, about this Ilmolei lo nitna Torah hayinu lamedin, etc. There's places where the Rebbe talking in Kundris and Yonash al Torah Sachsidus, for example, the Rebbe talks about the idea that we see from this that even though on the one hand we have to keep all the mitzvahs because they're chokhmasa ratzon shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the mishpatim, on the other hand, the flip side of that is the ones that we understand the logic of, we also have to understand with our logic, with our brains, because that's how Hashem gave them as such mitzvahs in order that we should do that. And adrabah, we see over here, there are some of them that are such natural things that even the animals do them, and we can learn from that. In a different place, the Rebbe talked about, you know, you have the famous thing from the Baal Shem that everything that a yid sees and hears should be a lesson in avoda. This is an example of that. You see a cat and you realize how it acts sneezily, and that should give you and that should motivate you to be the same, and so forth with the other ones. So the Gemara says, "Oh, my mafaisla, in what way does the rooster appease the hen before it mates with it?" Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rab, Hachi Karmala. What he does is he acts, he like pantomimes the following. He says, Zavin and Loch Ziga Dematu Lich Ad Karich, I will buy you a coat that will reach down to your feet. So like before the rooster mates with the hen, he takes his wings and spreads them down onto the ground, like pantomiming, as if like this is a coat which I'm gonna give you later. Lavasa Hachi, afterwards, of course, he's not giving her a coat. Amala, then afterwards, the rooster, again, the natural way the rooster acts is afterwards, it walks away like with its head drooping down, and the comb on top of the head is also like drooping down above his head. So Amala, he says to the hen, Lishamti lekaibolose dahu tanagola. That rooster is meaning my comb should fall off if I actually have the ability to get you that coat and I don't buy it. In other words, I would keep my promise, except that I don't have the money to do it. And therefore, like, he's hanging down his head and then saying, like, I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm like, if I'm lying, then may my comb fall off. So we see, okay, even though he doesn't actually keep his promise, but at least, you know, he talks nicely to her and promises her. Yeah. He spreads his wings out like a coat, showing that he would buy her a coat if he was able to, basically. So the tzaddikim, yeah, they look at what the bird is doing, and they can realize from that, yeah, Derech Hakev, Shlomo HaMelech knew the language of the animals and birds, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on topics of things that of dinim involving Hilchos Shabbos that we haven't dealt with yet. Mishnah says, Hadelas Shaba Muktzah, a door to a Muktzah. Now, a Muktzah is what's also called, we've learned before in the Masechta, Rechava Shachari Abatim, a backyard where you don't use it as people use their backyards nowadays, like to go play in or have picnics in or whatever. They use it basically for storage. So it's not something you go into very often. So you have a door over there. So Rashi says, because of that, because you don't go in very often, you don't bother putting up a proper door over there. What you do is you have kind of like a makeshift door over there, which is not attached to the door frame. When you need it, it's not on hinges or whatever. When you need it, then you pick it up and put it in the opening. And then you have two kinds, some kinds that are completely detached from the wall and others of them where they're hanging from it. Other ones of them where they're hanging from a string, but either way, they're not on hinges. Rashi says that actually it's not only a rechava shacha, it's not only a muktzah. The same thing would apply to a door to any place else. We're mentioning just a muktzah because it's a common thing to have such a door there. There are a number of Rishonim who disagree with Rashi and say that actually no. We're saying specifically a muktzah because not only it's not a regular door, but you also don't go in there very often. If you actually went in there often, then the din would be different. Anyway, continues the mission of a chadokim shabapirtza. Also thorns that you use in a breach in the fence. So let's say you have in the wall around your chotzer, around your garden or whatever, you have a hole in it. So therefore, so you take a ball of thorns, like a thorn bush, and you stuff it in there in order to keep out intruders. So those kinds of things, umachsolos and mats, same idea. You take a reed mat and you put it to close the opening. Ein noilin behen, you can't close the door with them on Shabbos. Elim ken gvoyim min ha'aretz, unless they're off the ground, unless they hang in such a way that they're not actually touching the ground. But if they are, then it would be an isur, either daraisa or at least derabanan, of boina, of building. If you put them on Shabbos, yeah. We talked about before why all of this pedic is not in Masechta Shabbos, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Uraminu, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Delas Hanigreris, a door that drags on the ground, or Machzela Hanigreris, or a mat that drags on the ground, the Kankan Anigra, or also a Kankan that drags on the ground. Kankan literally means a barrel, but Rashi explains it means the peg or something, the keli that you hold behind the plow. When you're plowing, you have like a handle, a wooden handle attached to the plow, which you hold on to when you're plowing, and that is called Kankan. So sometimes you would use that. Sometimes you would use that as a makeshift thing to block the door. So bizman shekshurin etloyin. So if they're tied to the wall there and they're hanging from the ground, they're hanging above the ground. Nolan behen b'Shabbos vein tzorach l'mebiyamdiv. Then you're allowed to close the door with them on Shabbos and needless to say on Yamdiv. The point being, in other words, that we don't care whether they're actually higher than the ground. We only care that they're tluyin, that they're hanging. So as long as they're hanging from the wall, then it seems like it would be fine if they. So the Mishnah had said gvoyim min ha'aretz, that they have to be higher than the ground. There is, in fact, some of the Mephoshim have a girsa gimel tvachim, that has to be three tvachim above the ground. From the Gemara over here, it seems that it just needs to be shunin or tluyim. They just need to be tied and hanging. They don't need to be necessarily any particular distance above the ground. Or maybe even they don't even actually need to be hanging. They don't even really need to be above the ground at all. They just need to be hanging. In other words, they're attached by a string. They're attached by a rope to the wall near there. So, in fact, Tosfos points out the Gemara could have asked that why the on the one hand it's calling it nigreres, that it's dragging on the ground, then it's saying that it needs to be tuyin. So what is it? So Amar Abaya, b'sheyesh lahem sir. So Abaya says the difference is that when they have a hinge. Now, hinges in those times were different than the hinges we have nowadays. The hinges they had in those days were more like the kind you have, let's say, on Lego doors. You have one peg sticking on top of the door, one on the bottom, and they went into holes in the top of the bottom of the door frame, respectively. So you're not allowed to actually put them in on Shabbos. We're going to learn that tomorrow, Best Hashem, because that would be considered bona. But depending on the exact circumstances, we'll see. But we're talking about where the door actually has hinges. So then that demonstrates that it's a real door. So once it's tied with a rope, then already it's considered. Then once it's tied with a rope and hanging, even if it's not actually gvoya min ha'aretz, even if it's not above the ground, then you're allowed to close the door with it. Whereas our Mishnah is talking about where it doesn't have hinges, b'chol. So therefore, it has to be above. Therefore, it has to be above ground. Not the key. You have hinges. You have again these hinge. You have these hinge pins, these pegs on the top and bottom of the door. So therefore. Right. So therefore, once you have that, then that shows to a certain extent that it's a real door. Even though it's not actually attached to the door frame, nevertheless, then all you need then is that it's tied on with a rope but it doesn't actually have to be above ground. That's a buyer. Rava Amma Bashahoya Lahensir. Rava says it doesn't even actually need to have hinge pins right now, even if it had hinge pins. That already shows a certain hecker. You see that, right? You see that there were holes over there for the hinge pins. In fact, actually, I think the Ritva has a different explanation. He says we're not talking about hinge pins on the door. We're talking about when you can see that there are holes for the hinges on for the hinge pins in the door frame. So that already shows that it's an actual door. Okay, so the Gemara says Masvi. I have a contradiction. Which seems to be on both of them. A braisa says delas hanigreres, a door which is dragging on the ground, or machzelas hanigreres, and a mat which is dragging on the ground, but kankan a nigra, or kankan was dragging, like we said before, the handle of a plow, bisman shekshurin atloyin ugvoyim in aretz, if they're tied and hanging, and they are above the ground. There are three conditions, and in fact, actually, there's another girsa also bisman sheyesh lahen siru gvoyim, that only if they have a hinge and they're higher than the ground, afila maloy nima, even if they're only a hair's breadth above the ground, noyelin behen, then you can close the door with them on Shabbos, v'im labe noyelin behen, if not, then not. So you see that you need more than that. It's not just good enough that they have a hinge. They also need to be above the ground. So both Rava, that seems to not work according to either Rava or Abaya. And the answer is Abaya matarets the time A, the Rava matarets the time A. The answer is both Abaya and Rava will be able to explain the Braisa according to their shittis. Abaya matarets the time A, what it means is Oish yesh lahen sir, oish gvoyin min aretz. It's one or the other. Either they have hinge pins, which therefore demonstrates that it's a real door, or it's higher than the ground, and therefore also it's not actually dragging on the ground, and therefore you're allowed to close the door with it. So once we say, fine, it has to be tluy, and it has to be tied as well. But the point is, as far as whether it has to be off the ground or not, that will depend whether it has hinges. It either has to have hinges or it has to be above the ground. Rava matarets atayme. Rava will say what the braisa means is kshahoya lahen sir oishe gvoyim min aretz. If they had at one point hinge pins and or hinge holes or whatever, and now they don't, oishe gvoyim min aretz, or they're higher than the ground. Okay. Yeah. Tanan abonim. We learn in a braisa more on this topic of what you're allowed to close an opening with on Shabbos and not. Soiche koitzim. Bundles of thorns, vachavilin, or chavilin actually is bundles. Soche kotzim would be also like thorn bushes kind of. But chavilin and bundles of thorns, she skin on lapirza shebachotzer. He prepared them to use them to close up an opening, a gap in the wall of the chotzer. Bizman shekshurin atloyin, when they're tied to the wall and they're hanging, that then noilin behen b'Shabbos, then you're allowed to close the door with, then you're allowed to close the gap with them on Shabbos. The ain sarach loyma b'yomtiv, and needless to say, you're allowed to on yomtiv. Same idea. There you don't have, they don't have hinges, so there you would actually have to be hanging above the ground in order to be allowed to do it. So it's not really locking. You're using it as a bundle of thorns. So you're putting them in the gap. Nobody's going to try to go through because the thorns are going to get in their way. And continues the Gemara. Toni Rav Chiya, Delas Almona, a door which is an Almona. Rashi explains she Almona mitikunel. The door is like, so to speak, widowed of the things that normally make it a door, as we'll see in a second what that means. Hanigreres, which is dragging on the ground, a noilin bow. You can't close an opening within on Shabbos. So hechi dami delas amana. What is the definition of that? Ika de amri de chad shifa. Some say what it means is it's made of one board. Doors in those days were usually made of a couple of boards that were attached together with glue or with pegs or whatever. Yeah. And nowadays you have doors that are one slab, but in those times you didn't do like that. So when it's one piece like that, then it looks more like you're taking a board and just using it to close up the gap, and then you have a problem of boina. So that's that opinion. The other explanation is it means that it doesn't have gishma, which Rashi says means like rails or pegs or whatever that attach the two parts together. In other words, even if it is made out of two pieces, but let's say they're only held together with nails instead of the usual kind of frames or rails or whatever that you would usually have holding the door together, slats or whatever. Yeah, so then it's still considered a dela salmana. A different explanation that the Rif says that gishma means a threshold. So if the door doesn't have a threshold underneath it, then it would be called a dela salmana, according to that opinion. The Rashash points out, I mean, besides that we're calling it dela salmana because we're saying like it's missing some of the normal things that make it a door, he says we could actually be talking about a door that belongs to an almana. She doesn't have this. She doesn't necessarily have the ability to take care of her house as well as because she doesn't have a husband. So therefore, things are just left as is in her house, like just makeshift or whatever. Okay. Amun of Yehuda. So in this connection, since we're talking about boina, and included in the idea of boina is that you're not allowed to make an oil on, that you're not allowed to make an oil on yomtiv, and even an oil arai is also midrabanan, even a temporary oil. So omer of yoda, hai midurta, when it comes on yomtiv, if you're making a pile of wood for a bonfire, mimaila lamata shori, you would be allowed to, if you take the pieces of wood on the top and you have people hold them in place and then start piling the wood underneath them. To make like you usually have in a bonfire, you usually when you want to have a pile of wood, you want to have like a pyramid of wood in order that it'll burn nicely. You can't start mimata lamaila oster to do from the bottom like you would on weekdays and then go up to the top would be oster because that's making an oil arai. Tosfos points out one thing is it may be considered only an oil arai if you're making it on the ground. If you were to do such a thing on a table, then it wouldn't necessarily be a problem. And also, it has to be, Tosfos mentions, that you need the airspace underneath them. If you're making a pile of things, let's say, for example, Tosfos says you're making a pile of books, let's say, you don't particularly need the space underneath them, then there wouldn't be a problem. But here we're talking about you need the space underneath it because you have to make, the fire has to be able to have a draft. So therefore, so you're making an oil, and therefore you have to do it with a shinui by making the top first and holding it in place, and then putting the other pieces of wood down below it. V'chein be'asa, the same thing when it comes to an egg. Rashi explains, we're talking about, let's say you have a metal frame that you're going to cook the eggs on. You have the fire on the ground, and then you have like a frame with legs, sort of like a stool, and then a thing on top where you cook the eggs. Where there also you have it has sides. It has not really like a stool because it has sides, and therefore you have the same problem when you put the eggs on top. Then you're making the top of the oil. So therefore, you would have to put the eggs and then put in and then slide in the metal keli underneath. Tosfos says that's not what it's talking about. That's not called derech binyan. So Tosfos says actually that what we're talking about, let's say you're making a pile of eggs. You're making poshet a pile of eggs, and for whatever reason you want to have a space in the middle of the pile. So then you'd have an oil, and then you then again what you have to do is you have to hold the top egg in place and slide in the other eggs underneath it. So v'chein kidra, the same thing when you're putting a pot, the same thing when you're putting up, when you're putting pots up. Let's say, for example, you're putting, you put two pots on the sides and then you put one pot on top of them, in order, and then you put the fire, and then you make a fire between the two bottom pots. Same problem. So what you have to do is you have to put the top pot and then slide in the other two pots underneath it in order not to be making an, in order to make it with a shinui. V'chein puria, the same thing when you're setting up a folding bed, where you have, you set up the frame and then you put the, and then you put the and then you put the leather cover the on top of it. Same idea. By the way, with our beds nowadays, that's not necessarily an issue because the beds they had in the times of the Gemara, they had that sometimes, at least these kinds of folding beds had an actual side to them. Our beds nowadays don't really have actual sides. They only have legs. So that would be different. V'chein chavisa, and the same thing if you're setting up barrels, where again, the same idea, you're putting up some barrels and then you're putting more barrels on top of them and you have a space in between. In all those cases, you would have to put the top one first and then put the bottom ones underneath. Because in that way, you're not, in that way, you're when you're making an oil, ara, you're making it with a shinui, which would be fine. So you might not. If you don't make them with a space, then it's not an issue. But if you make, Tosfos is saying, if you're making them with a space, then you need to be careful about that. Okay. A little bit of a gadja. We learned in the Mishnah about chadokim shavapirza, a thorn, a pile of thorns that you use to close up a gap in a to a gap in a wall. So omaleyahu mina Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. So a certain min says to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, he says chidka, you tzaddikim of the Jewish people are like thorns. As you have a dichtiv b'chu, you have a pasuk in the Navi Micha, tuvam kachedek, the best of, tuvam actually kachedek, the best of them are like a thorn bush. So you say you chachamim are the best of the Jewish people maybe, but you're like a thorn bush. You're harmful to people. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua tells him, shatya, you fool, shafil l'sefer dikra. Look at the next words in the pasuk, dichtiv yosha mimesucha, the straight person more than a mesucha. Now a mesucha is, as we said before, also means a hedge of thorns that you use to protect a gap. So therefore, adrabah, what the pasuk is meaning, it's not insulting the tovam and the yosho, just the opposite. It's saying that they're good, they're protective to the Jewish people. In fact, when one of the Mefarshim, Ein Yaakov, called Ein Eliyahu, says that the min was arguing, you know, sometimes we have a tzaddik helps his dur. Sometimes we say that the schus of a tzaddik protects his generation. Sometimes we say adrabah, when a tzaddik comes to town, everybody else looks like Roshoyim compared to him, and therefore, and then like you find by the Yohu and the Ishat Sarfasis. So sometimes a tzaddik brings not such good to the world. So the min is arguing the second way, and Rabbi Shua tells him no, the primary thing is that the tzaddik protects the generation with his schus like a hedge of thorns. So what does the first part mean? The good ones among them are like a chedek. So in context, yeah, the pasuk is saying that we're talking about in the generation before the Churban, where you had even the people who appear to be tzaddikim, many of them are really rishoyim, etc. But now Rabbi Yeshua is explaining, given that yosher memesucha we're saying as a compliment, it means that the yosher is better for the Jewish people than a hedge of thorns. It protects them. So what is the tovam kachedek? Just like thorn bushes protect and guard the gap that people can't just wander in, the same thing, the good ones among us Jewish people protect the rest, protect us Jewish people. Dover Acher, another explanation of Tovim Kechedek. The Gemara is going to darish in the word Chedek as if it said Hedek, because Ches and Hey are interchangeable in Droshes, as we've had a number of times before. They grind up the Rishoyim and send them off to Gehenim. In other words, Maharsha explains, there's a Gemara in Chagiga that says that a tzaddik gets not only his own portion in Gan Eden, but also the portion that would have otherwise gone to his neighbor, the Rosha, who should have learned from him, like you have in this parasha. Esav should have learned from Yitzchak and Rivka and Esav and Yaakov, and therefore he loses his place in Adam Haba, and it gets given to the tzaddikim whom he should have learned from, and vice versa. The Rosha ends up with a double portion of Gehenim, his own, and the one of the tzaddik who didn't learn from him, and therefore doesn't have a place in Gehenim. So, So therefore, right. So therefore, the tzaddik therefore forces the rasha in, grinds up the rasha and gets him into a bigger gehenna. So that's the tovim kechedek meloshin shema hadkin. And mahadkin, Rashi says meloshin v'shachachtim menahodik. You grind up the ketodos very fine. Yeah, we say in Kabbalah. Shenema, as we find a pasuk that expresses this idea, also in the Navi Micha, that the tzaddikim grind up the Rishoyim. And by the way, Marashah says over here, the Rishoyim we're talking about are not Jewish Rishoyim, because ultimately, Kol Yisrael Yashem Chelik Adam Abba. We're talking about the Rishoyim of the Goyim. Where do we see a pasuk that expresses this idea, that the Jewish people grind up and dispose of the Rishoyim? Shenema, kumi vadoshi bas Tzion, as the pasuk says, get up and thresh, daughter of Tzion, ki kaunich osim barzel, I will make your horn, meaning your strength, like iron, ufarsisayich osim nechusha, I'll make your hooves as though they were bronze, which is very strong, vadikos amim rabim agomer, and you will grind up the many nations. That's primarily, it's talking about lasid lover, the mochamas gogamogog, whatever, but the point is, we see that there's this concept that the tzaddikim, that the Jewish people grind up the goyim and send them off to Gehenna. So therefore, so Rabbi Yeshua is saying that that's another meaning of tovim kechedek. Okay, Mishnah says, lo yamad adam b'rishus hayachid v'yiftach b'rishus rabim. A person is not allowed to stand in rishus hayachid and, for example, take a key that's lying in rishus rabim and use it to open a door that's out to rishus rabim. Now we said the other day you could do that. That was according to the chachamim. We said this is according to the mayor. So yeah, we said that's we asked before. That's how could you have one Mishnah according to one and one according to the other? So we gave an answer that it could be that way. We gave a different answer that there are certain cases where even the Chachamim would agree we said Rav Chinan Bar Shlemia had thought that all the Mishnayos over here have to be according to the mayor, and Rav told him that no, the earlier Mishnah was according to the Chachamim and this one is according to the mayor. Okay, so b'rishus rabim b'yiftach b'rishus yachid, or vice versa, to stand in rishus rabim and open a door in rishus yachid. The problem in each case is you might take the key into the rishus where you are, and then you're transferring from rishus to rishus, and you're being over on an isur d'oraisa. That's the point. That's the point. We said the other day you're allowed to stand in one rishus and move something in another rishus. That was according to the Chachamim. Reb Meir disagrees with that concept, and he says you can't do that because you might take it into the same rishus where you are. We did say the other day that you had the case where a person is standing in one rishus and drinking from another rishus, where we said even the Chachamim would agree that there's a... Yeah, it's on. Yeah, so we said, right, if you put your head in, the problem was if you have a keli over there, you might take the keli out to the other rishus. So we said only if it's something that you don't need, or according to the Rambam, I'm not a chosh of a keli. So, but in the case of a key where you don't need it in the rishus, where you are at all, then the Chachamim allow it. Reb Meir still doesn't allow it. So elim kein osa mechitza gavoya asara tfachim, unless you make a mechitza around the door 10 tfachim high, and then that way the key and the door are all in rishus yachid. Divrei Reb Meir. This is what Reb Meir says. Amrulai, so the Chachamim said, we can prove to you that it is allowed. Maisa b'shuk shapatomim shaya b'Yerushalayim. It happened with the store, with the marketplace of the fatteners in Yerushalayim. Rashi says, patomim means katsavim, butchers. They would fatten up the animals and then they'd shech them. So in this marketplace, shahayu noilin, they would lock the doors. Umanichin esamavteach b'chaloyin shagabi apesach. And then they'd put the key in a window above the door, where they're standing in Rosh Hashanah. The lock itself is above 10 tefachim, so the lock itself is Rosh Hashanah, as we're going to talk about on Omid Beis. And then they would put it in a window above the door. So we see that you're allowed to do that. We see that you're allowed to stand in Rosh Hashanah and open a door in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a shukshot samorim. Rabbi Yossi says actually it wasn't a butcher's market. It was actually a wool seller's market. Now, Bapashtus Rabbi Yossi is not arguing with the din. He's just telling us which market it was, and he's just telling us the fact. Tiferes Yisrael says an interesting idea on it. Rabbi Yossi might be saying it's one thing with a meat market. After all, usually they sell raw meat, but sometimes they sell cooked meat. So conceivably, you might have reason to open the store on Shabbos and take out some meat to give to somebody, and then after Shabbos, they'll pay. With wool, you could argue there's much less of a reason to do it. What's somebody going to do with wool on Shabbos? And nevertheless, we're still saying, even though that's less of a need of Shabbos, nevertheless, they still would open and close the doors on Shabbos with the key, like we're saying. So we see the Chacham are saying to the mayor that it's allowed. However, the Gemara asks, V'rabbanan, now what are the Rabbanan doing over here? Amar Reb Meir, Rosh HaSarabim, V'mahadri Inu Karmelis. What is Reb Meir is saying, you're not allowed to stand in Rosh HaSarabim and open the door that's in Rosh HaSayachid with the key. What are they answering him? They're mentioning the case of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim wasn't a Rosh HaSarabim, it was a Karmelis. So it's not the same thing. We learned this earlier in the Masechta. Yerushalayim ilmole dal seser nin olas balayla. When it comes to the city of Yerushalayim, if it weren't for the fact that the gates of it are locked at night, chayav aleihem mishum rishus harabim, then you would be chayav for carrying it as a rishus harabim because you had streets that went straight through and you had 600,000 people in them, but because the gates were locked at night, it's not like the Midbar, which you can go through 24/7. Therefore, it wasn't considered a Rosh HaSarabim. It was considered a Karmelis. Actually, some of the Rishonim say it wasn't even really considered a Karmelis. It was more like a Chotzer. It's more like a Chotzer that belongs to Rabim. So you have to make an Eruv Chatzeris in it. The point is, though, it's definitely not a Rosh HaSarabim on a Daraisa level. So what kind of proof are the Chachamim bringing from that? Yeah, in Yerushalayim, they did that because it's a Karmelis. How does that prove in another city, which is an actual Rosh HaSarabim? The answer is Amar Papa can kodim shenifrit suba process can la'acha shenifrit suba process. It depends. Yerushalayim itself had different statuses before breaches were made in the walls versus afterwards. Once there came a point in history when breaches were made in the walls of Yerushalayim and the breaches are more than 10 amos wide, at that point Yerushalayim is not considered to be surrounded by walls anymore. So therefore, now the streets in it are real Rosh HaSarabim. That's the case where the Chachamim are talking about that you see that people were still opening and closing their stores. Whereas what Rabbi Baba Chana is saying is talking about when Yerushalayim's walls were intact and the only way to get in and out is through the gates, and the gates are locked at night, so then it's not a Rosh HaSarabim. Then it's a Karmelis, right? Rava gives a different answer. Sefer Asan L'Share Gina. The Sefer of the Mishnah is actually not talking about the case when the Chachamim are mentioning the case of the stores in Yerushalayim. They're not arguing with the mayor on the matter of Rosh HaSarabim. You're right. What they're talking about is that at least that when it comes to Karmelis, also the mayor says you're not allowed to do it. And there the Chachamim say we can prove from the case of the storekeepers in Yerushalayim that with a Karmelis it would be allowed. Namely, so in effect, it's like we're sort of saying like chasuri mechsura, as if like the Mishnah is missing words and we're adding. V'hochikama, so sefer ason l'share gina. In the sefer, the Chachamim are talking about an implicit machloikus that they have with Reb Meir about the gate of a garden, where the garden is a karmelis. So the Mishnah means like this. V'chein, Reb Meir says, the same way as you're not allowed to stand in Rosh HaSarabim, in Rosh HaSayachid, and open a door in Rosh HaSarabim, or vice versa, the same way, lo yamed Rosh HaSayachid v'yiftach b'karmelis, b'karmelis v'yiftach b'Rosh HaSayachid, the same way Reb Meir says you can't be standing in a karmelis and do it in Rosh HaSayachid, or vice versa. Unless he makes a mechitza 10 tefachim high. So now, when you're in a garden, then you have a mechitza, then you're in Rosh HaSayachid, so there you're good. Divir Rameir, that's what Rameir says. Omru loy, the Chachamim said, I can prove to you that with a Karmelis, at least it's allowed. Maisa b'shuk shapatamim shoy b'shalayim. You had this marketplace of the meat sellers in Yerushalayim. Show you noilin, they would lock the door. And they would put the key in a window above the door. So we see that they're standing in Karmelis and opening a door in Rosh HaSayachid. And as the Gemara is going to say soon, the lock itself is considered Rosh HaSayachid, as we're going to talk about soon. It's high enough and it's large enough. The locks in those times were basically the locks in those times were like big boxes attached to the door. Inside the box would be the pins, would be the lock pins, and then you'd put in the tumblers, and then you'd put in the key, which the keys themselves were very large, and then you'd open it. Yeah, you actually have a pasuk that mentions a certain person in the times of Yeshaya, where the Navi says about him, "Venasati mafteach beis David al shichmai." I'll place the key of beis David on his shoulder. In other words, like he'll be in charge of everything that goes on in the palace. But we see the fact that poor people like. Maybe, I don't know, but Rashi actually further on in the Rashi actually mentions that the kind of locks we're talking about in his times were the kind that poor people used. So apparently by Rashi's times, rich people were able to afford more normal locks like we're familiar with. Poor people still had to use these kinds of large, bulky, box-like locks. But apparently in the times of the Gemara, I'm saying you have a pasuk that mentions that I'll put the key of Beis David on his shoulder. So implying that the keys must have been large enough in those days that you got to carry them on your shoulder. Like the key of the city, I guess, like you have sort of, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. The point is that, so the lock itself is considered a shusa yachid, as we're going to talk about soon. So the Chachamim are saying, you see that these people were locking the door. So they're standing in Carmelis, because we're saying Yerushalayim was a Carmelis. They're opening the door. They're opening the door, which is where the lock itself is a Rishus Yachid, and then they're placing the and then they put the key in a window or cubby above the door. Rabbi Yossi Meshuk Shatzamarim Hayir. Again, Rabbi Yossi says it was a wool seller's market, not a meat market, but same thing. The point is that Meir is saying it's also whether it's Rabim to Rosh Hashayachid or whether it's Carmelis to Rosh Hashayachid, and the Chum are saying that it's allowed. That the Chum are saying with Carmelis it's allowed, and we can prove that from the story from Yerushalayim. Okay. Yeah, turn on our bottom. We learn in a bray. So more on this topic. Pischei Share Gina, the openings to the openings to gates around a garden. Now again, the lock, as we said, is Rishus HaYachid. By the way, Rishonim asks an interesting point. Even if the lock itself is 4x4 and it's 10 tefachim off the ground, it means it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground. So it's mechitza shagdoyim boikim boy. It's a mechitza that goats could walk underneath it. That's not considered a mechitza, as we've learned before. The door itself, fine, you have the door, but the door itself is only mechitza on one side of the lock. The lock itself, you're telling me, is a Rishus HaYachid because it's large enough, it's 4x4, and it's 10 tefachim off the ground. But how does that help if underneath it you have a space where we're gdoyim boikim boy? So Rishonim give a couple of answers. You could have that the lock is actually... No, if it's in the door, then that's for sure not a Rishus HaYachid. No, so one answer is that the lock actually has like a pedestal underneath it, has like a pillar underneath it that goes down to the ground. Another possibility is maybe there's a mound of dirt. We're talking about where underneath the lock, there's a mound of dirt over there, which is 3 tefachim tall. And we said that's enough to prevent Gdoyim Boikim Boy, and therefore it's considered a mechitza. Okay. Anyway. Bizman Sheshlan base shar mibifnim, if the garden has a base shar, a gatehouse on the inside, so to go from the garden into Rosh Hashanah, you're going through this gatehouse, then you're allowed to open and close the door from the inside because you're standing inside the gate. Now the garden itself is a carmelis, assuming we're talking about that the garden is larger than base sasayim, because the garden is not hokaf ladira. So if the garden is Carmelis, but the gatehouse itself is large enough to be Rosh HaYachid, so good, you're standing in the gatehouse, you're opening and you're locking and unlocking it, so good, you're standing in Rosh HaRabim and the lock itself is also Rosh HaYachid, you're standing in Rosh HaYachid and the lock is Rosh HaYachid, and therefore you're good. Mibachutz, if the gatehouse is on the outside, so in other words, the first case is you have the garden, then the gatehouse, then Rosh HaRabim, or the other case is the other way around. Well, also you have the garden and the gatehouse, but the point is if the gatehouse is sticking out of the garden, sticking out into Rosh HaRabim, same idea, either way, the gatehouse is a Rosh HaYachid, therefore, Mibachutz, then you'd be allowed to open and then close from the outside, because again, you're standing inside the gatehouse. Mikan, if the gatehouse is on both sides, both part of it is inside the garden, part of it is outside the garden, then you're allowed to open from either side, because either way you're in Rosh HaYachid, and the lock itself is Rosh HaYachid. Ein lahen lo lekan v'lo lekan, if there's no gatehouse on either side, and again, the lock is Rosh HaYachid. So now the point is like this. The key is sitting on top of the lock. But Reb Meir doesn't want that you're going to be standing in Rosh HaRabim or in the garden and take that key and unlock the lock, even though on the face of it, you're taking from Rosh HaYachid and using it in Rosh HaYachid, because the problem is that you might take it into the Rosh HaRabim or into the Carmelis. You might take the key and bring it over into your Rosh HaRabim instead of just putting it directly below where it is and opening the door. because it's actually standing in the Kamala, so in Rosh Hashanah, respectively. So therefore, so you're not allowed to close, you're not allowed to open or close it from either side, says Rameir. Similarly, when it comes to stores that are open to Rosh Hashanah, bisman shamanu lamatam asara, if the lock is below 10 tefachim, then so now it's a kamalus. Maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos. Then what you can do is you bring the key before Shabbos. Umanicha be'iskupa. You put it on the iskupa. Now the Gemara is going to mention soon that we see from this brisa, once we finish analyzing this brisa, we see there was a certain part of Rabbi Meir's opinion that he took back. So here we're saying the iskupa itself is a caramelist. So therefore we can take the key and put it on the iskupa. The next day on Shabbos, he can come take the key from the iskupa, stand on the iskupa itself, that is, which is a caramelist, he can unlock the door, and then put the key back onto the iskupa. So therefore, what you have is he's carrying. So now everything that he's doing is within Kamalus. He's standing in Kamalus. He's opening the lock, which is in Kamalus, and then he's putting the key back in Kamalus. So all that is fine. Divir Meir. If the lock is above 10 tefachim, so now the iskupa may be kamalus, but the lock is rishus yachid. So then maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos or manichib manul. Then what you do is you bring the key before Shabbos. You put it on top of the lock so that the key itself is in rishus yachid, not like before where you put it on the iskupa and it's on kamalus. It's true, but okay. The point is, I guess, just that this, maybe it's made that animals shouldn't come in. Yeah. And you could say the same thing if you put the key on the iskupa. Same idea. You'd have, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, so here you take the key and you put it on top of the lock. L'macho p'seach v'noyel. On Shabbos, you can then use the key to open and to open and then close the door. U'machziru l'mkoymai and put it back where it was, on top of the lock. So now you have now you're standing in Kamalus and you're doing in Rosh Hashanah. That's the Gemara is going to say later. We see from that Rav Meir changed his mind about the din of Kamalus to Rosh Hashanah. Divrei Rav Meir. All of this is according to Rav Meir. Even if the lock is above 10 tefachim, no problem. They say you're allowed to stand in Kamalus and open in Rosh Hashanah. In fact, they said you're even allowed to stand in Rosh Hashanah and open in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos, so you can bring the key from before Shabbos, so manicha be'iskupa, you can put it on the iskupa, which is kamalus, l'macha p'seach v'noyel, the next day you come, you take the key from the iskupa, you put it into the lock, and you open and close the lock, u'machziru l'mkoymoy, and you put it back where it was, oy b'chaloyin sh'agabi ha'pesach, or you put it in a window above the door. However, im yesh b'chalon, because the window is small enough to be a mokum p'tur. However, im yesh b'chalon abba al abba, also, if the window is 4x4 tefachim and it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, then it's awesome if neshu kamotzi mirshus l'rishus, because then it's like taking from one rishus to another. Now, so part of what we need to figure out is why the chachamim are not considering the lock to be rishus yachid. And when you're putting the key into the lock, you're putting it into Rosh Hashanah. So how is that allowed? So that we're going to get back to that point soon. But mid ka'am of chen chanuyas. Now, given that we're talking about that, the Braise had said the same thing applies to stores, and we're saying we mentioned a garden, and we're mentioning the same thing as stores. The garden is clearly a kamalus. The stores, therefore, also have to be. We're talking about that the area in front of them is a kamalus. So the cloud to be iskupas kamalus askinan. So therefore, we have to be talking about that the iskupa is a kamalus, because otherwise, also if the iskupa was Rosh Hashanah, then there's nothing to talk about. The store is Rosh Hashanah. We said Siddur Rosh Hashanah are considered to a certain extent like Rosh Hashanah, but so the question is, Hai manul hechidami. What exactly is the scenario with this lock? If the box lock that we're saying is not 4x4 tefachim, makom p'tur, then it's a makom p'tur. So why would Rav Meir have a problem with you opening it on Shabbos? What's the difference? Whether it's above or below 10 tefachim, either way, it's small enough that it's a makom p'tur. The e is be'arba, and if the lock is 4x4 tefachim, b'ha le'mer abanan, then how could the abanan say af bizman sha? amanu miyud, that even if the lock is above 10 tefachim from the ground, where then it's rishus yachid, maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos and manicha be'iskupa, they say you can put the key on the iskupa, which is a karmelis. L'mocha b'seach v'noyo boyo machziru le'iskupa oy l'chaloyin sh'agabe ha'pesach, and after you finish, you put the key back on the iskupa. What do you mean? V'okam ataltum a karmelis l'rishus yachid. You're taking from the iskupa, which is karmelis, and putting it into the lock, which is rishus yachid. So what exactly are we talking? What's the story with this lock? Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, "Lo olam de ein bayaba." What we're talking about is the lock itself is not four tefachim wide, but the yesh bo lochuk olashlimi ledalid. The door is thick enough that if you were to carve out into the door, then you would have a total of four tefachim. In other words, let's say the lock, the box that we're talking about over here, is three tefachim. It's three tefachim thick. It sticks out from the door three tefachim. The door itself is, let's say, a tefach and a half thick. So conceivably, you could carve out a tefach of the door, and then you'd have a full 4x4 tefachim. You don't have to actually carve it out. We consider as if it was carved out. There's enough thickness of the door that you could carve out and make a fourth and make a fourth tefach. And overhaul pligi. So here's the machlokas. Did a mayor saba chokin lahashlim? Rabbanon sabre ain't chokin lahashlim. We've had this machlokas a couple of times before. We had it earlier in the Masechta, where the mayor holds that in such cases, you imagine as though it was carved out. We had something similar, for example, near the beginning of the Masechta, in connection with the dinim of mezuzah. You had a case over there of a doorway where part of it was 10 tefachim wide, part of it was 4 tefachim wide, rather. Part of it was 10 tefachim tall, but you don't have the whole, part of it is 4 tefachim wide, but the rest of it is not, because it curves, because it's an arch. The whole thing is 10 tefachim tall. And Rameir says, Chokin lahashlim. Rameir says, you imagine as though the sides of the wall next to it were carved out to make a square, and then you have a full 4x10, and it's chayiv in mezuzah, whereas the Chum hold not. We had a similar thing as far as Hilchos Shabbos. We had a couple of examples where Rameir holds that. But Rabban and Sabri, and Chokin lahashlim, the Chum say you don't do that. So therefore, Rameir will say that this thing is a rishus yachid, the lock. Therefore, according to him, you can't take the key from the karmelis and put it in the lock. You would have to put it on top of the lock itself, where therefore the key is in Rosh Hashanah, and then you're putting it into the lock, which is Rosh Hashanah. And according to the Chacham, it's no problem because the lock itself is Makom Patur, and therefore you can take the key from karmelis and put it into Makom Patur. Amar Bibi Barbaya, so the Bibi Barbaya says, Shmamina Mehomas Disant Plas. There are three things that we can deduce from this Braisa that we quoted. Number one, we see that Reb Meir holds of this opinion of chokin lahashlim, because we see that that's what we're talking about, is that the lock itself is not 4x4, but together with the thickness of the door, you have a potential area of 4x4, and Reb Meir still considers it a karmelis or rishus yachid on that basis. Number two, you see that the mayor changed his mind about the case of the gates of the garden. He agrees, after all, he's saying you're allowed to stand. He says you're allowed to stand on the iskupa, which is a karmelis, and take the key from there and open the lock, which is above 10 tefachim. And so we see, unlike before he was saying you can't stand in karmelis and open in Rosh Hashanah, now he changed his mind and said, I agree with the chachamim that there's only a problem with that if you're doing, well, not I agree with the Chacham. The Chacham say you're even allowed to from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, as long as you don't bring it into the Rosh Hashanah where you are. But Reb Meir will say, fine, I agree with the Karmelis because it would be a Gzeira L'Gzeira. But I still disagree when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. There's actually two Lashonis in Rashi over here. Rashi's first Lashon is, which you have in parentheses over here, is that he allows you to stand in Rosh Hashanah and pick up the key from the Karmelis and bring it to the lock without making a Gzeira that he might take it to Rosh Hashanah. But that's a first Girsa in Rashi. Tosfos points out there are some problems with that explanation and better to have the second explanation in Rashi. We're not talking about he's standing in Rosh Hashanah at all, but we're talking about he's standing on the Iskupa, which is a Karmelis, and opening the lock, which is Rosh Hashanah. So we see that Reb Meir allows it. So we see that he changed his mind. And also another thing we can learn from the Braisa, midrabanan, based on the opinion of the Chachamim, who said that if the that if the window is for that if the window above the door is more than 4x4 tfachim, then you, which would be a rishus hayachid, then you can't put the key there. So we learn from that isa lidur of dimi that we accept the halacha that the chachamim hold, and we accept the halacha of what Rav Dimi said. Dechi aser of dimi amar Rav Yechanan makam she'en by abba al abba, a place which is less than 4x4 tfachim, so it's a makam tur, mutter levnei rishas harabim levnei rishas yachid lekatev olav, both people in rishas harabim and people in rishas yachid are allowed to use it to adjust their burdens, because then you're taking from rishas yachid to makam tur, or from rishas harabim to makam tur, and that's allowed, uvil vad shelo yachlifu, as long as you don't trade, as long as you don't take something from rishas yachid and put it down in the makam tur, and then take it from there to the rishas harabim, because even though on a daraisa level that would be allowed, mid Rabbanan, we don't want to allow it because he might do it directly. Because we said it's next to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but it's not, it's tall enough by itself. It's 10 Tvachim tall, but it's not 4x4. So it's considered a Makam Tur. Let's say, yeah.
And next to the fence.
Right. Can lean on the post. Well, so what we're saying is, yeah, because they're allowed to take something from and put it in Makam Tur. And the same thing, they were allowed to take something from Rishas Harabim and move it less than 4 amos and put it on the Makam Tur. Yeah, it would have to be a couple of tefachim. Yeah, it would have to be a couple of tefachim away. Yeah. Onto the Makam Tur. Over Vad Shalo Yachlifu, as long as they don't trade something from Rishas Yachid by way of Makam Tur to Rishas Harabim, because then if they did it directly, it would be an Isur Daraisa, so therefore the Chum don't allow you to do it, even if you're putting it down on the Makam Tur. The same way over here, we're saying that you can't take the key from the iskupa, which is a caramelist, unlock the lock, which we said according to the Chachamim is makam patur because it's not 4x4, it's only 3x4, let's say. And then you're going to take it and put it in the window, which is a rishas yachid. The problem is, then what you're doing is you're taking something from caramelist, putting it in makam patur, and then taking it from makam patur and putting it into rishas yachid, and the Chachamim is saying you're not allowed to do. So we see that Rav Dimi's din applies, and in fact, we actually had it earlier in the Masechta, we discussed the question, does Rav Dimi's din apply when we're talking only rishuyas daraisa, or even rishuyas dirabanan? We see from here it applies to rishuyas dirabanan, because we see we're talking about caramelist and rishas Yachid, and still the Chachamim say you can't do that. So it's all one gzera that you're not allowed to take from Kaimelis to Rishas Yachid, and included in that is also even if you drop it off in a Makam Tur on the way. Besides which, we said the other day that some of the Rishonim say that when it comes to Hitzav Achnasa, sometimes we do make a gzera like gzera because Hitzav Achnasa is so common, because it's a Malacha Grua, etc. Okay.